I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on our visit to Canterbury in the fine county of Kent. Yes, Canterbury is widely known as Britain's most authentic cathedral city because it smells like cheese. Now, the county of Kent can trace its origins back over two millennia. In AD 44, the county was invaded by the Romans. In the 5th century, Kent was taken by the Anglo-Saxons. Then the Jutes under Hengist and Horsa, who were replaced by the Vikings. And then, following the invasion of 1066, Kent became the first county ruled by the Normans. Kent's proud motto is Invicta, which is Latin for undefeated. The Isle of Thanet lies at the most eastern point of Kent, while in the past it was separated from the mainland by the half-mile-wide Wansum Channel. This began to silt up in the Middle Ages, leaving Thanet today separated from the rest of Kent by only 700 years. Kent's second cathedral city, Rochester, was in the news recently when UKIP took the parliamentary seat there. Mark Reckless was elected after the UKIP supporters of Rochester went to the polls and asked them to leave. Kent became physically linked to mainland Europe with the completion of the Channel Tunnel. The service has suffered numerous technical problems, including a fire and freezing snow. Shortly after it opened, an engineering survey of the tunnel produced evidence of an alarming design fault, and it was discovered it comes up in France. According to the Criminal Records Office, the oldest British person ever to be jailed is an 89-year-old Herne Bay man. After being caught shoplifting for the 9th time, he was sentenced to 18 months, but on appeal, this was reduced to life. But he's not the only one here known for his criminal act. Let's meet the teams. They are, on my left, Graham Garden and John Finnemore. And on my right, Tony Hawks and Susan Cowman. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever-delightful Samantha. Well, we begin this week with a look at dogs. Incidentally, I noticed that Dulux are going to replace the dog in their ads with a golden retriever. Well, a sunrise halcyon yellow retriever. We should be aware that certain types of dogs suffer if they're inbred, by which we mean a Korean sandwich. I have some incomplete dog-related sayings and proverbs, which I'll ask the teams to finish off. So the first one is for you, please, John. How much is that doggy in the window? Woof, woof. The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? Woof, woof. I do hope...
this isn't a butcher's.
Susan, women and cats will do as they please, and men and dogs should...
do as they're told.
It's actually relax and get used to the idea. This is Robert Heinlein. For you, Tony, this is it's a proverb. Better be the head of a dog than...
an inner-city comprehensive.
Tail of a lion, actually. Graham, when an 85-pound mammal licks your tears away, then tries to sit on your lap, it's...
time to ask for your 85 pounds back.
It's hard to feel sad, Kristen Higgins. Another one for you, John. Robert Walpole, let sleeping dogs...
with my new sleeping dog rental service.
let sleeping dogs lie, of course. Susan, it's an Egyptian proverb. The barking of a dog does not disturb the...
quality of a Coldplay album.
does not disturb the man on a camel. Remember that one, it's quite useful. Tony, it's a Scottish proverb. He that sleeps with dogs...
probably isn't an overachiever.
It actually says, man rise with fleas. And finally, Graham. The difference between cats and dogs is dogs come when they're called, whereas cats...
call when they come.
It's actually... take a message and get back to you. It's an anonymous expression. So here's some for any of you to have a go at. Here's a quotation from the Bible. It's from Psalms. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to...
Orpington.
to his folly. It's a quote from Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I, who had had my heart full for hours, took advantage of an early moment of solitude to cry in it very bitterly. Suddenly, a little hairy head thrust itself from behind my pillow into my face, rubbing its ears and nose against me, and...
I realised it was Bill Oddie doing Spring Watch.
Drying the tears as they came. John is a slogan from the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. If you can't decide between a shepherd, a setter, or a poodle, then...
why not try the mixed grill?
This is get them all, adopt a mutt. And finally, dogs are like penises.
I don't see the point in them.
It's from Scott Dunn. Dogs are like penises. I enjoy my own, but I don't want to be touched by anyone else's. Well, the teams are going to sync us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. As our guest Tony Hawkes is not only a successful writer and comedian, but also a gifted musician, it was thought it might be a good idea to design a special round to suit his talents. And it might be, but we're going with the same old game anyway. The piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. It's often said by music experts that the greatest of classical composers would have been happy with Colin's performance of their work. Beethoven. Okay, we'll start with you, Susan, and I'd like you to sing the words of Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees to the Colonel Bogey March.
Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Music, loud and women warm, I've been kicked around since I was born. And now it's all right, it's okay. And you may look the other way. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive in the city.
In the background, the audience in Canterbury playing catch with a box of Maltesers. It's your turn now, John. I'd like you to sing the words of Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye. to the tune of Morning Has Broken.
Now let's get down. Tonight, baby, I'm hot. Just like an oven, I need some loving. And baby, I can't hold it much longer. It's getting stronger and stronger. And when I get that sexual feeling, oh baby, makes me feel so fine. Makes me feel so fine. Helps to relieve my mind. Sexual healing is good for me.
And finally, Tony, I'd like you to sing the words of I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester by the Wurzels to the tune of the Patsy Cline hit Crazy.
I drove me tractor through your haystack last night. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep quiet. Now something tells me that you're avoiding me. Come on now, darling, you got something I need. I've got a brand new combine harvester, and I'll give you the key. Come on now, ooh-ah. Let's get together in perfect harmony. Oh, I got 20 acres, you got 43. Now I've got a brand new combine harvester.
Well, the next round is a complete departure in that the object of the game is not to get a laugh, whereas in all the other games, it's an unintended consequence. Failing to get a laugh will be almost impossible for Susan Kalman, as she's a comedian from Glasgow, although we do hear she has a straight acting role in a new sci-fi movie set there. Susan's area of Glasgow has been transformed into a post-apocalyptic hell, and her friends and neighbours are said to be delighted with the improvements. In straight face, team members take it in turns to utter one word at a time, the object being not to get a laugh, and the slightest titter from the audience will result in instant disqualification. So you can start, Tony. Your words should be related to Christmas.
Tinsel.
Eggnog.
No, that didn't get a laugh. That's The usher at the back of the room slipped over and fell on his torch. Some people at the back were laughing at that, so don't worry. Carry on, please, Susan. Yeah.
Depression.
Oh, no. They're laughing because he's trying to get his torch working again.
Graham. Holly.
Sorry?
Holly.
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 Mm. Well, nothing there.
Relatives. It was a very funny laugh, wasn't it?
I think the audience just went, there was an intake of breath, and that's what got the laugh, so I'll let that pass. It wasn't you getting the laugh, Tony, don't worry. So nothing's changed.
Sherry.
Scabies.
Not to worry, it was actually the ice cream lady who fell off the... just fallen off the balcony. It wasn't as much a laugh as a ripple. Please carry on, Graham.
Santa.
Now someone laughed then. Did you hear that? You're out. Tony.
Mince pies.
That's two words, isn't it?
Schoolboy era.
Yes, you're disqualified, I'm afraid, because you made a mistake and it got a laugh. Yeah. No, don't feel sorry for him. He's just... he'll get over it. Susan.
Sponge.
Advocat.
What?
Advocat. Very Christmassy drink.
You got a laugh. No, so you're out. So Susan's won that round. You see, that's how it works. Well, the next round takes a look at medical conditions. And as a qualified doctor, Graham Garden should do well here because he suffers from colourblindness. Graham was inspired to study the condition and began raising millions to set up a research facility. Graham tells us his funding finally got the green light, so had to stop. In this game, one team will be suffering from an obscure condition, which the other team, as doctors, will try to diagnose from their symptoms. And we'll start with you, John and Graham. The identity of your complaint is now being displayed to the theatre audience. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
John and Graham think they're clowns. John and Graham think they're clowns.
John and Graham, would you please step into the surgery of Dr. Tony and Dr. Susan and start outlining your complaint?
Come in first.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes.
What seems to be the problem, then?
No, I don't know what it is, really. We're just... we're feeling a bit funny.
Yeah. And that's never happened before.
No.
No, we're very unhappy about several things, aren't we?
We certainly are, yeah. I mean, we can't seem to hold a job down. We're always having little accidents at work.
Nice accidents, yeah. And we've been having trouble with a car.
I mean, it's a lovely model. It's a 26-seater.
Yeah, but the doors fall off.
Yeah. I've been feeling very, very pale in most of my face, except for quite a concentrated a rush of blood to one particular part. And then also my nose.
Show the doctor what happens when you squeeze it.
And also my nose. Yeah.
His hair raising, that, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, well, I think what they're really suffering from here is delusions of being clowns.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's your turn to be the patients, okay. Tony and Susan, and... identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board. While here again, the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Tony and Susan think they're Christmas trees. Tony and Susan think they're Christmas trees.
Off you go, Susan and Tony.
Blimey.
Yes, made it.
Yeah, blimey. The ceiling's a bit low in here.
Certainly is, yeah. I'm very sorry. I keep dropping things all the time. I'm sorry about that, everybody. Sorry.
Come in. Now, what seems to be troubling you?
Well, I find that I'm very easily turned on.
Yeah.
That's a problem, is it?
It is. I'm going bald too quickly.
One of my relations was actually decorated by the Queen.
Sometimes I just sit in the corner of the room flashing.
Mm-hmm. I think the most concerning thing, and I don't want to worry you, Tony, but your balls are really shiny.
I don't consider that a problem at all. That's us, Doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious what they are, don't you?
I think they probably are.
Christmas trees.
Yeah. The teams are going to write letters to each other next. Letter writing has largely been replaced by Twitter, but the very public nature of tweeting has its hazards. Recently, an MP tweeted a picture of a property festooned with national flags occupied by a family living off the state. She resigned and apologised to Buckingham Palace. In this game, each team will take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures, with the players providing one word each at a time. Graham and John, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Henry VIII to local girl Anne Boleyn, and then Susan and Tony, you'll come up with a reply, and so on. So off you go, please, Graham and John.
Dear
Annie,
I
will
very
soon
be
polishing
and
cleaning
my
axe
because
I'm
about
to
chop
off
some
firewood.
So
chop,
chop.
Goes
the
little
axe.
If
you
know
what
I
mean.
Watch
this
space.
If
you
want
to
find
sanctuary
in
Belgium
or
Switzerland
or
Papua New Guinea,
however
not
in
South
or
West
or
Central
Africa,
where
you
will
find
no
comfort
at
all.
Finally,
look
under
the
stamp
on
this
letter,
and
you
will
find
a
sticky
little
patch
which
is
reminiscent
of
all
the
affection
which
I
showed
you
once,
but
never
again.
So
toodle,
Pip.
Yours
faithfully,
Harry
8. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Dear Hazza, how could you possibly
write
that
kind
of
letter
to
me,
someone
who
is
wearing
a
dress
which
has
been
swapped
for
trousers
which
aren't
really
here?
If
you
wouldn't
mind,
I
would
like
to
be
in
Belgium. Because
Belgium
is
so
wonderfully
dull.
But
it
isn't
very
clean,
which
upsets
my
sensibilities.
Because
I
am
very
clean.
Which
is
mainly
because
of
Dettol.
Is
not
very
helpful
when
you
are
drunk.
Which
is
something
I
am
right
now. Because
I
am
standing
in
a
pool
of
potatoes.
Yes.
Potatoes.
Yes.
Potatoes.
A
large
pool
of
potatoes.
I
am
quite
based
because
the
potatoes
have
become
dead hospitalised. Love and kisses, sweetie.
Thank you, teams, and to listeners at home, welcome back. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of the legal songbook. Now, Samantha has to nip out now as she's completed her bar exams and has a client facing trial who needs her help. He says he has an alibi, and Samantha says she'll see him in his cell, and if he can make it stand up, she'll try to get him off. So while she's away doing that, I'll ask the teams for their suggestions of song titles that might please an audience drawn from the legal profession. So, Graham, you could start, please.
Here comes the bribe.
John?
Stop! In the name of Section 60 of the Criminal Justice and Public Order Act 1994.
Tony?
QC in the sky with diamonds.
Susan?
It started with a writ.
Last night, a DJ sued my wife.
Someone, Eileen.
Call your mother.
Call your mother.
You can leave your wig on.
M'lud, m'lud, glorious m'lud.
She's got affidavit's eyes.
If you like it, you should have put an electronic tag on it.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as a lolly stick and a Christmas cracker go into a pub and the barman says there must be a joke in there somewhere, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha and myself, and our audience here in Canterbury, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Graham Garden, Tony Hawkes, John Finnemore and Susan Kalman were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.